You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out. Hungry for adventure? Then travel to A La Carte, the charming land below the floating city of Heavenly Delight, and join the young cook Ramen for her daily dose of wacky hijinks in the new series Delicious. With a cast of eccentric, strong female characters, this wonderfully illustrated comedy comic will be out in July, but you can pre-order now by clicking the banner on the page for this podcast. Get the limited hardcover first edition, plus free stickers and an art print as a gift.
Wow, stickers!
A perfect gift for your child, or those of you who are forever young at heart. One of Us strongly recommends this one.
You know, I feel like the term legend is thrown around a lot. So many things are just legendary. So many people are legendary, and people become legends just by clocking in time. And not to take away from being consistently working that entire time, but there are people who, because of the caliber of their work, the quality of their work, and their general energy and chutzpah, that earned that term legend. You know, Dick Van Dyke comes to my mind. Betty White's a legend. We've still got a lot of legends here that survived 2020, and how happy I am that they did. But we are here to talk about one specific legend. That's Rita Moreno, who I've known from my peripheral. I've seen West Side Story, The Electric Company. I've seen Oz. I've checked out an episode of One Day at a Time. It wasn't until I saw this documentary, Rita Moreno, Just a Girl Who Decided to Go For It. Man, I just didn't realize what a career span she's had. This is someone who's won every single major award. She's an EGOT. That's the term, right? EGOT?
Versus ERGOT, which is trying to kill us in Texas.
I have my air conditioner off here in Texas all day long, and I'm about to just say, fuck it, because this fan ain't doing shit. It's June in Texas. I mean, come on. My name is Frank, and with me to gush about this living legend is the Lady Harmony.
Hello.
And Luane.
Hey, how's it going?
You and I seem to end up on like some, and Harmony as well, on some real like feminist-centric jams, right? Just remember the London Beauty Pageant one? These are our jams.
This one, when it came up, I saw Rita Moreno's name, and I'm like, oh, I'm in. If you spend any time on this site, you know I mostly do like horror and sci-fi and genre. And every once in a while, I'll wander off into like drama. But like, I saw her name and I'm like, I got to get on that right now. Because, oh my God, she's amazing. I am not a musical guy, right? Like, this is not really a thing I usually do. But she has always existed in my life, right? From Electric Company on and everything else. And she's never not amazing to watch.
Yeah. She's got that magnetism that just pulls you to her. This follows her life and career. And so there's lots of stock film clips from her work in the 50s and the 60s. Of course, West Side Stories feature prominently in there. And there's present day footage of her being interviewed and going about her day. The main theme, and no matter what you're seeing, if it's a vintage clip of her or a present day clip of her, she's got that energy, that spark, and that magic. And there's something that it doesn't matter what she's doing. She's just magic. She's just magic. Harmony, tell me you agree with me.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you. I've seen, for example, like The King and I a million times, and I always remembered Tup Tim. And I totally didn't realize that was Rita Moreno at all. I was like, wait a minute, because I always think of her as being in West Side Story and Electric Company and stuff like that. A lot of this documentary like talked about the struggle she had as playing that ethnic character or exotic character when they wouldn't hire people of that race or complexion for these movies in the 50s and 60s. And hell, even now, just seeing her still shine in these, like, honestly kind of awful roles, you know, like she's just there because she's hot.
Yeah. Even when they show the clips of her being the exotic girl in all the early 50s movies. I'm like, yeah, but I couldn't tell you anything else about the scene except that she was in it.
I'm always intrigued by the term exotic. I think the term is really attractive and really intriguing. It's not next door.
It's exotic.
And, you know, there's so much mystery and adventure in that term. But the fact that it was used as not white.
She's a survivor. Her just being like, well, this is bullshit. You know, I loved how tenacious and feisty and adorable she is. But she had to, like, go through a lot to get there.
I would say the best thing about this, because, you know, this documentary does cover a lot of her struggles, including, you know, coming from a broken home and having to come from nothing, literally come from nothing, to being raped by her agent at the time and still staying with him. Racial discrimination, anything in the book you can think of, you know, back alley abortion, like, yeah, that wasn't good. But none of it made her jaded. Like, this is not a cynical woman. This is a woman that's full of, like, hope and drive and ambition and determination, even to this day. I thought that was the most beautiful thing about this, seeing her spirit was not tainted, but rather emboldened by everything that she'd been through.
With a documentary like this, you expect the, oh, look at her in this movie. Oh, look at her in this movie. And look, but there's about a third of this movie that is about her political activism from about the time that you're talking about with the abortion to the present and how that all comes together and how she's been a part of all of those things. She relays this story one of the times she's one of those island girls, right? And she's supposed to fall to her death. And she's supposed to lay in the water and she's moving because she's getting stung by jellyfish. And the director is like, you got to stop moving. And she realizes, oh, I'm not a human being. I'm just a prop. And he literally tells her, just shut up. And you realize that there's come a point in her life where nobody will tell her to shut up. And she will not do it. And all she does is go and talk and use that same charisma and that same energy and that same thing that's kept her going through all this time, not just for herself, but like for other people, whether it's issues of race or whether it's issues of gender or identity or any of those things. I expected this to talk a lot about how great she was as a performer, but it got way further in. And like, I wasn't already in love with her. Come on.
Well, in Hollywood in general is very much like, if you're not under, let's say, 40, it's like, you know, what use are you? It's very rare to see someone who can be like, got my Oscar, I've got my Emmys. What am I going to do now?
I think that this does a really good job of balancing, like, you know, the strides she made as a performer, because she did not only break barriers, but she also reinvented herself at an age when women, they were like, out the door, you know, no longer viable. Little side, Kathleen Turner tells a really sad story about how she was pitching a movie back in the 90s and the executive was like, so this woman, she's 35, but still attractive, which is so stupid. But yeah, this is about her reinvention as a performer that she knew she had to make. She was versatile enough to actually make it, but also really the activism and the outside causes and passions that really drew her. And I think given her personality and just her overall energy, there's no way that she wasn't ever going to be this sort of social figure, this champion of different causes.
It's still a very difficult thing to be Latinx in Hollywood, because like a lot of times they don't know what to do with you, or you end up playing Native Americans, which is another problem.
This documentary's got oh my gosh, I got so many cool people. Got Mitzi Gaynor, Chita Rivera, Gloria Estefan, Norman Lear, the great Norman Lear. Don't take him yet, Lord, please. Whoopi Goldberg, Eva Longoria, Lin-Manuel Miranda, who produced the documentary. They're all singing her praises, but it's interesting to see that, especially with some of the female commentators, how they hold her up as a role model, even as they themselves are still going through some of the same struggles.
My family's from Mexico, and my family raised me very much to be white. We passed. And, you know, my family, and I kind of feel bad that I didn't have more of a connection to that until I was older. But stuff like this, like the Rita Moreno and like In the Heights, really kind of gives me this like longing feeling for this connection. I love her for that. She's just amazing and beautiful and teeny tiny fierce little package.
What I found really interesting was her romantic relationships.
Oh, fuck Marlon Brando.
I don't want to say fuck Marlon Brando, because that was such a codependent relationship in a lot of ways. And I mean, those are two people bound to meet.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. And probably drawn to each other and then fed off of each other's damage and trauma. Yeah.
And there's no doubt he's the first one to ever tell her, you know, you need to go see a therapist. You really should get some help.
And then like literally sends her to the therapist.
He really awakened the sort of like sleeping giant in her of activism and speaking out and not taking any answer she got. But I really found the relationship with her husband quite interesting.
Yeah, it's almost a little sad.
It is very sad because you can tell that there was love there on both sides, but it seemed like so highly compromised in a way as well.
I'm always kind of curious what it would have been like if she was just Rosita and not a star. First of all, they wouldn't have come together. But the fact that he didn't really even know who she was when they met is kind of an interesting little element. But I'm kind of curious what it would have been like if they had just been a couple and not Rita Moreno and her husband.
Yeah, and Mr. Rita Moreno.
That's a lot to have to carry, the celebrity of your family. I'm not going to lie, being rich and famous is not going to, from my perspective, probably not the worst thing in the world to be, but I can see how it could be, right? And I can see how it would be a challenge, particularly if that's not a thing that you're into. And I get the impression that her husband had a certain need for stability in what's going on, and the easiest way to ensure that stability is to control how things work, and he's married to Rita Moreno. That feels like that's going to conflict no matter what.
I also kind of read it as, with everybody has their own baggage and damage and stuff like that, that she really, as spicy and as wonderful and as talented as she is, that her doubts and those dark shadows are still very much there. And it's hard to be yourself, especially in a very intimate relationship like that. You know, when you have all these doubts and misgivings about yourself and have basically told from a very young age that the only thing you're good for is being a sex symbol. And then she never really got the opportunity to be herself. So she kind of settled, but she really did care for him. That's a hard place to be in, I think. I can see how that'd be a hard relationship.
It's the only time we ever see her get emotional in the documentary. I think also by that point in her life, there was no stifling the woman she'd already become as well. So that had to have also been constant, like push and pull between the two of them. Like I said before, everybody's here for this. Morgan Freeman, you know, Hector Elizondo. I'm just in awe of how much goodwill that this woman has racked up within the industry and is still going. I mean, she's credited as a producer on the remake of West Side Story.
Can you imagine like 50 years later, be like, let's do it again.
She's doing a new character, which is going to be quite interesting. But I like what she had to say about her former character. I love the way that she saw her. And I never looked at that song in that way. For so many people, the ideal was to become come to America and start anew, start afresh. And I loved her take on it. It's so easy to dismiss a lot of themes in that movie and her character as well. I don't think either one is. And I love that the case that she makes for both of them.
I think you're right. I think it's interesting to have that character's perspective in the performance to begin with, because she is dealing with that sort of conflict. Do I try and pass, or do I try and be American, or am I true to who I am, which means I'm going to have this problem getting roles and everybody's going to see me as the other, and that's what I bring to the table.
Why can't it be all those things? I think she really like embraced all of those facets of her and made something wonderful.
It's funny, and by funny I mean kind of sad. I saw a couple articles today about In the Heights and the lack of representation of Afro and Latinx characters in that film. And Miranda was actually going online to saying, yeah, we dropped the ball on that. And basically calling out that only certain colored Latinx Latinos were featured in that film. And, you know, no shade to anybody who made the film and behind the scenes and whatnot, but it's still interesting that it's still such a...
It's still a challenge.
It's still a challenge, still an issue. Who knows if it'll ever be perfect. But this documentary is pretty perfect.
Right. Pretty perfect.
It is standard talking heads. It is standard vintage clips and present day falling around. But it's her. She's the one that really sets it apart. It's never once dull or boring. And you just want to continue in her orbit, like follow her around and just radiate in her energy.
I really like the paper doll motif that they use throughout the documentary too. I thought that was very clever and not something I had seen before, of this idea of having this child as they grew up and the personalities and the traits that she would put onto herself in order to survive, and then just being represented by these paper dolls. I thought was very clever.
The paper doll motif is so great. I loved it at first because it really showed how she was treated in Hollywood, as just these different outfits put on her one after the other and different personas. But let's go ahead and wrap into our final thoughts. Lil Wayne, why don't you get us started?
It was interesting to delve into her as a person rather than the version of her that you see, which is sort of what this whole thing has been about. There's all these versions of her. And we've talked before about relationships and how these various things have been sort of an element of how she's had to exist. But there's a bit near the end, because of course she's, what, in her 80s now. She seems more independent than she ever has been. And she even makes a comment, living alone is really pretty neat, especially if you like who you're living with. It was kind of amazing to get that because, one, I can't imagine ever being that at peace with myself. And two, it's interesting for her to have reached that point, because we've talked all about all of the roles that she's played, both in front of the camera and out. And to see the real, honest Rita Moreno in this documentary was more than I ever could have hoped for. She's still beautiful. She's still charming. She's still funny. Oh my God, she's so hilarious. But for her to realize and to get to see that happen, that she is Rita Moreno and she is who she is, period, makes this a straight up 5 out of 5 grand entrances from Singing in the Rain.
Nice. The Lady Harmony.
I really was touched by the little bits of pieces that we saw with her daughter. That could have been a very contentious relationship. It's hard to be like a friend with your parents sometimes, but it seemed like it was a genuine friendship. Aside from, you know, the parent-child love, you know, there was really something nice there. The whole thing was just warm and fuzzy. Even the parts that are hard to listen to, when you talk about her being a survivor and what she had to go through, is done in such an earnest way, because it's not newsreel or anything of the thing. It's like she's sitting there and it's just her facing the camera, just laying it all out. There's something so endearing that just draws you into her. I really adored this documentary and I highly recommend it. So I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10 hours that she worked more than the guys on West Side Story.
I mean, that's tenacity and that's commitment. So I didn't know what I was doing. I needed to work that hard.
I had to just do more.
I loved it. Yeah, I remember when Doris Day died a couple years ago, and I told my dad, oh, Dad, Doris Day died. And he was like, I never really liked her. She always seemed so fake. That big smile all the time. I just really didn't buy it. And I was writing a piece when she died, and I researched her in an abusive home, an abusive relationship. Some guy like messed up part of her hearing because he just knocked her around. She had an operation after she had her first son, which left her unable to bear any more children. She had her entire fortune stolen from her by a bad manager who worked with her husband. And I thought, well, that smile wasn't fake. That smile was defiance. And I got that in spades with Rita Moreno, because to have to go through the casting couch, the wolves of Hollywood, to not be seen at all, really, just be, like you said, a prop. To build a career from that, in those kind of circumstances, to be her family's breadwinner, to be passionate about issues from the 1960s and the same issues today, to still be hungry to perform. I love that she is not weathered or beaten down by anything in her past. Her past, she wears it, and she wears her life on her sleeve. And I love that. I love that that's where she is as a person. I think she will also outlive all of us, because that's the kind of spirit that we hope to all have, and very few people achieve it, and she has. And I think this documentary does a great job of getting to her essence. It gets in the traditional way, but it does get to who she is, and that's ultimately the point of any good documentary. So I got to give this 9 out of 10 times that you should watch The Four Seasons, which is a movie that she was in that Alan Alda wrote and directed. And it's her, Alan Alda, Carol Burnett, Sandy Dennis, Jack Weston. It's a great film. It's on Netflix. It just came out this month, called The Four Seasons. She's hilarious. She's playing an Italian wife, but it's such a Rita Moreno character. Like, every inch of the character is her. She is so full of life energy, and the kind of life energy that only a legend like her can have.